Good morning, Delaware. It's a great last Friday in June. Halfway through the year almost. Hard to believe.
Goodness.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yes,
where has the year gone? That's Nicole Fowles, who is agreeing with me.
Good morning. It's rare that that happens.
It is.
But it's not.
So nice when it happens. And Gage Tellis on the board. Good morning, Gage.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Wearing your SpaceX hat, I see.
Of course. Hopefully we're all on the same page this morning, right?
And our guest today, we'll see if she's on the same page, is Miriam Mansour from Voice Corps. Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. We're going to talk about Voice Corps and what service that provides to the community in the second half of the show. But Nicole, what you've been reading, listening to, binging on?
I got interested in introducing some of the presidents to my six-year-old daughter. And so why are you doing? I don't trust George when he laughs.
No, I'm trying not to be political. Go ahead.
I thought we might start with Lincoln. So, and something, I don't know, my mind is a beautiful place and a confusing place. And something popped into my mind and I was like, Lincoln, I need to find picture books about Lincoln and read them to my six-year-old.
Have a happy ending.
No, well, this one does,
okay.
Though. This one's very interesting.
All right.
So it's called Abraham Lincoln's Dueling Words. It's by Donna Janelle Bowman, and it's illustrated by S.D. Schindler. Yes, it is the Schindler. I was like, is somebody saying that right? It's a story that I'm curious, George, if you know, because I know you're very educated on our presidents. The person who Abraham Lincoln is having dueling words with is James Shields. Does that story sound familiar to you at all?
No, it doesn't. I figured it was Stephen Douglas with the Great Debates.
That is not. Do you know that Abraham Lincoln was involved in a duel?
No, I didn't.
This is fascinating because basically this is a story that I tried to see, is there an adult fiction or nonfiction, you know, historical fiction or nonfiction book that talks about this? Is there anything written much about James Shields? No, you can't find it hardly anywhere. And this is a story of, in 1842, young Abraham Lincoln, he's about in his mid-30s, early 30s at this point. He's a lawyer in Illinois, and he gets in a debate, a back and forth with James Shields, who at the time is the auditor of the state of Illinois. The state was in a banking crisis, and they decide that the best way to collect taxes is not through the, you know, money that the common people were using at the time, but was through the language that the bank spoke, which was gold and silver.
Ooh.
And so state of Illinois says, we're collecting taxes through gold and silver. Abraham Lincoln, the party of the Whigs at that point, he says that this is terrible for the common man. And so he decides that he gets a little bit of a rascally idea to tell James Shields how he really feels. And he writes a letter to the editor of the paper. This might sound familiar. It's a Dear Rebecca letter. Does that sound familiar at all?
No, it's still not sounding familiar.
All right. So this is news to George. I'm so excited. So he writes a letter basically chastising everything that James Shields is doing. But he does it in his Lincoln smart way, where he uses words like reckon and s'pose and, you know, talking about people getting in a whole like nick of trouble, you know. So he's using a lot of kind of like, you know, backwoods words that he knew growing up in Illinois. And he pens the letter from Aunt Rebecca. And Shields is fuming about this, of course, because he's not being very nice. He's really just publicly outing him. Well, then Aunt Rebecca letter is written, not from Lincoln, that just shows up in the paper, also joining on. Another letter shows up that happens to be written by Miss Mary Todd, engaged to at the time, with her buddy. She has a friend who she writes that along with. And all of these letters start appearing in the local paper, and Shields is not happy about it. Shields goes to the paper and demands to know who wrote these letters. And Lincoln says, tell him that they were all from me. Just tell him that they were all from me. So it shines a little light on his character at the time, even though that wasn't a very nice thing to do. Shines a little light on his character. So Shields and Lincoln then go back and forth in this like letter, furious letter writing, you know, campaign, because that's what you do in 18, whatever, 42. And so they're writing these letters back and forth. But in the process, Shields never asks Lincoln, did you write these? He just assumes. And then he demands an apology. So both of them are feeling as if their honor has been hurt. Lincoln is saying, you're not following the gentleman's conduct, code of conduct, and asking me if I actually wrote these. Just ask me straight if I wrote these. And Shields is, you know, saying that he's been publicly defamed and humiliated, and my honor is lost, and you've hurt my character and my practice of law. And so Shields challenges him to a duel.
Wow.
And the dueling's not legal in Illinois at that point. But they go to a place called, I think it's like Bloody Island or something like that, which is where all of the Illinois battles and duels go to happen. Lincoln, as the person who could not... who was being challenged as the person being challenged, he got to set the rules. And so, of course, he was going to have a little fun with that.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not going to say it's 10 paces and then shoot with a pistol. He's going to say, well, we're going to need a plank. And the plank's going to be 12 inches wide by, 7 feet long. And we're going to use swords and cavalry broadswords of the largest size. And we are going to then have a line beyond that. And so basically Lincoln figures out like, hey, I'm like 6.5 feet tall and he's not. And these swords are really heavy. And I'm going to guess he's not very good at that. And with my like wingspan of my arms and the span of the sword, like I'm going to best him. Because I'm smarter. Like, so he sets the rules because to win in his advantage, which is the point. They get out there. They both show up. And then, of course, they're seconds, which if you know the dueling rules, those are the people who are to step in, and say, like, please really don't do this, mm-hmm. to prevent the spill of blood. Their seconds step in and they tell a lie to Lincoln that says, like, oh, Shields concedes. And so then Lincoln goes over and talks to him and explains what happens and, says, like, hey, listen, I am sorry. You did this. I did this. But, yeah. Let's make it right. And so they don't actually end up dueling, of course. But they do both show up. They do both agree that honor has been restored. He does confess that he lost that he wrote at least one letter to the paper, and then they go about their way. And then they go on to work together in the future because, of course, they both become Illinois. They both become Illinois congressmen. They both start working for the federal government at one point. And Lincoln even uses him in some of his presidential faculties. So it's a really interesting story. The author, Donna Janelle Bowman, basically says that she stumbled in 2012. She stumbled upon a one sentence mention of Lincoln's duel that was like, what? That just totally floored her. She said the more she researched and the more that she realized that Lincoln was a regular guy who made lots of mistakes, she realized that like, oh, this actually happened. There's one sentence that he says, Lincoln and Mary Todd were like, we're never going to talk about this ever again, right? Like, let's just like dust this under the rug. And an army officer later asked Lincoln if rumors about the duel were true. And he says, I won't deny it, but if you desire my friendship, you'll never mention it again. So he really was ashamed, this actually happened. But the author does go on to say that as she researched, there was one thing that he said that she felt like gave her permission to kind of write this book and not totally dishonor him. Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's called Abraham Lincoln's Dueling Words.
Great. Well, thank you. Miriam, as somebody who reads on the radio a lot, what do you like to read for yourself?
I am mostly a nonfiction reader.
Uh-huh.
I enjoy a lot of the classical literature, classical art, classical music.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I'm pretty much of an introvert that way.
That's all good stuff, though. I mean, it's classical for a reason.
Yeah.
Because it's withstood the test of time. So
yes, that's true.
So my book this week has will not stand the test of time. It's just for fun, but it's really kind of interesting. It's a book called Come Fly the World, The Jet Age Story of the Women of Pan Am.
Oh, yes.
The airline, yes. Julia Cook is the author. This book was published this past March. I picked it up as an advanced reader's copy. It sat on my desk at home for about 4 months, and I finally read it last week.
That's how it works.
So yeah, it is. I've got one that's even a little older than that I'm still going to read. I don't know if I'll actually review it on the radio or not, but it's sitting there. This one is the stories of five women who, for very different reasons, became stewardesses, and that's what they were called in the 60s, mm-hmm. for Pan American Airlines in the 1960s, as I said, and what that career move meant to the rest of their lives. And it's filtered through a number of different prisms, the sexual revolution, the women's liberation movement, the Vietnam War and its tragic aftermath, and the globalization of the world economy. So, I mean, it puts these women in a bigger context of what their kind of career ambitions meant to the world. There were Pan Am was the only airline that was an American flag carrier that only flew international routes. You couldn't take Pan Am from New York to Los Angeles, for example. They eventually circled the globe. They had the around-the-world flights. And flying with Pan Am was like the top rank of being a stewardess. I mean, if you could fly for Pan Am, you were really up there. It was like, you know, being a Marine officer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there were a lot of nasty stereotypes about stewardesses, too. Like, they weren't too bright. They were sexually promiscuous. They're just out to get a husband out of the first-class cabin, that sort of thing. And a lot of this was perpetuated by the sexist advertising that the airlines used about stewardesses,
mm-hmm.
like National Airlines with their Come Fly Me and some outrageous uniforms that the stewardesses were required to wear at some of the other airlines. But the reality was the stewardesses were more likely to have a graduate degree than women in the general population.
Mm-hmm.
They, for Pan Am, they had to be able to speak at least one language other than English. And they were basically independent, intelligent career women who were operating in what was often a very hostile work environment. Today, it's aggressive, drunken passengers. Then it was aggressive, drunken passengers plus skyjackers, because this was the era of skyjacking as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the women's movement had a big impact. It helped end arbitrary work rules about age, marital status, weight, pregnancy, clothing. It also helped open the career to men. So one of the really interesting stories in here is that Pan Am had the contracts with the U.S. government to fly troops, non-governmental workers, bureaucrats, and contractors in and out of South Vietnam during the war. And each of the five stewardesses whose stories are framed this book were involved in those flights, and three of them flew together on the first of the really ill-conceived baby lift flights that evacuated 2,200 kids out of South Vietnam, out of Saigon, as the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army were about to take over. So it's a fascinating story. Just that part of the book alone is something... I remembered it very vaguely from 1975 when it happened, but this story really brings it all home. The author, Julia Cook, had access to all five of the women she writes about in here. She interviewed them extensively. She also had access to the carefully preserved letters that two of the women had written during their work. She's also the daughter of a former Pan Am executive, which explains why she had good access to the behind-the-scenes stuff at Pan Am Airlines.
And interest.
Yeah, it was really good. So no coffee, tea, or me, or the Fly Girls type exploitation here. This is just a solid, interesting look at how a tumultuous time affected a very glamorous profession. So again, it's called Come Fly the World, and it's by Julia Cook. It is available at the library. I've seen it on the shelf, so... you're more than welcome to check it out. It's if you're at all interested in history of that period or just kind of the glamour of flight, this is when it was its most glamorous.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we will be right back with Miriam Mansour to talk about Voice Corps. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Off the Shelf. This is George Needham with Nicole Fowles, speaking for the Friends of the Delaware County District Library. And our guest is Margaret Mansour, who is with Voice Corps, which is a reading service that provides, as they say in their literature, audio access to the world. Good morning, Ms. Mansour. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about what is Voice Corps. Let's start with the real basic question.
The simplest question. With probably the longest answer.
Well, we are a daily, in-home, 24-hour, commercial-free radio reading service. Available in Central, Northwest, and Southeast Ohio counties. We read newspapers, magazines, books, and other current printed material to people who are blind, have low vision, or other conditions preventing them from holding a book or newspaper.
Great.
We are the first radio reading service in the state, the third reading service of its kind in the world, and the first in the nation to be established by blind recipients.
That's fascinating.
Who wanted to be informed and who felt the need for such a service to keep in tune with the world around them. We've been around since 1975. We started out as Central Ohio Radio Reading Service, and we evolved and became Voice Corps about 20 years ago.
So what kind of things can people hear if they listen to Voice Corps?
Well, we have all kinds of programs. We read the Columbus Dispatch every morning, 365 days a year.
Wow.
Read the Suburban News every weekday evening from 5 to 6:45. That takes different areas around Columbus. And I read the Outlying News, which is the Delaware Gazette, every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. and the Marysville Journal Tribune at 6 p.m. every Tuesday. This Week Delaware airs at 5 p.m. Thursday. And we have a lot of favorite programs. The obituaries are really big because so many of our listeners are older and they want to know who died.
Yes.
They want to know why the trash wasn't picked up.
Right.
They want to know about the local police calls.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's all stuff that you're not going to get from the National Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, right? They're not going to do the obituaries from the Delaware Gazette from Washington.
Uh-huh.
So this is one of the things that's really interesting about this. This is totally local, right? I mean, you're not reading the New York Times. I was looking at your program listings, and I see a few things that are national, but mostly this is local information all day long.
Yes. Variety of things. One of my favorite things, even though I'm not blind, is a program called Get Fit that airs at 10:30 every weekday morning, and it's an exercise program for sedentary people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of our people are in wheelchairs or bedfast, and there are some nice, you know, little yoga kinds of things where you can stretch.
Yes.
And we even have things like a sports show every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And we have a huge variety of things that we read. We do read the Wall Street Journal, but we also read Columbus Business First and Columbus CEO. We have heavy reading like the National Geographic. And we have very light reading, like the National Enquirer. We even read Esquire at 3 a.m.
Wonderful.
So when you say people can listen, do you need special equipment to be able to receive the broadcasts? Or can you just listen to it on computer or on your regular radio? How do you pick up these broadcasts?
Right.
Well, you may contact Voice Corps by calling 614-274-7650 to register for free use of a special Voice Corps radio. Our signal is on a sideband of WOSU-FM, so you need a special radio, but it has battery backup. You can also listen on Alexa, and if you call us, we can tell you how to set that up. The Delaware Library and the Orange Branch this month of June have registration forms, which can be mailed in. We're also available on the internet, www.voicecorps.org, and that's spelled VoiceCorps. If you have cable TV, we are on the community bulletin board channel. I know on Spectrum it's 1020.
Mm-hmm.
It can be downloaded to a smartphone or a tablet. We have a Facebook page, and we're on Twitter.
Goodness.
And Instagram. And we're always available to help you get registered.
This is amazing.
That's great. I worked with the National Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped many years ago, and they were so hidebound. Mm. They were still recording things on like 16 RPM mm-hmm. flexible discs for people who are blind. And even then, that technology was so outdated. And to hear you talk about all the different platforms on which your content is available just blows me away. That is just so great that you're able to use so many different sources like
right.
that. So now one last question I want to make sure I get in here. Can people volunteer to be readers? Or is this something, do you have to have like a great radio voice like Nicole's or Mark's or somebody like that? Or do you need to, or can anybody volunteer to help with this?
I was a volunteer with not Voice Corps in Central Ohio, but in Cincinnati. They have a kind of a sister kind of service in Cincinnati, and I got to read the obituaries.
Wow.
that was my job.
Okay.
But Miriam, yes, tell us how people can volunteer if they can volunteer.
Oh, yeah. we need a lot of volunteers because our staff only numbers 4 full-time and 3 part-time employees.
Mm-hmm. To stay on the air 24 hours?
So we have over 200 volunteers.
Wow.
They provide reading, clerical, and outreach services such as public speaking and presenting Voice Corps at information fairs and clubs. You do not need to have a trained radio voice, but you have to audition so that we can determine if your voice is clear.
Great. That's
and maybe the best program for you.
Yes. Yeah. I have to say, your voice is very clear.
Uh-huh.
Your enunciation is so good. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I have been a volunteer for about 15 years now, and I really, really love it.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for talking about this. As you mentioned, we do have information at both the Delaware and the Orange Library. If you would like to register for this service, or if you know somebody who should be getting this service, you can pick up the registration form at the library. We have bookmarks that the Voice Corps folks have dropped off that has the telephone number that Miriam quoted earlier, plus the voicecorps.org website that you can visit. That's all here, plus a program listings guide, so you can even find out all the wonderful things that they offer, which we didn't have time to talk about all of them. So thank you very much for being with us, Miriam. This is really a great service. I appreciate your volunteer service to it, and I really also appreciate the fact that you gave us all this literature that we could display about Voice Corps this month at the library. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
I look forward to, in fact, I listened to your reading of the Delaware Gazette article about our display of Voice Corps a couple of weeks ago on the web. So thank you.
That's right.
So it's kind of meta, but I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
We do have a couple of things coming up at the library this week with Summer Reading Club and everything. And I just wanted to say the chicks have hatched at Ostrander.
Ostrander, yes.
They'll be there until June 30th. We have the eggs right now at Delaware. There's scheduled to hatch maybe a week from Monday, around July 5th.
Right.
They'll be there until July 14th, and then they'll be at Powell arriving on July 7th. They're scheduled to hatch around July 19th, and then they'll be out of there by July 28th. So
mm-hmm.
come on by and see the
little chickies.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're still going on with our summer reading club, and this Tuesday, June 29th, we have a very special visit from the Ohio Bird Sanctuary. We are going to be introduced to some birds of prey. This is a virtual visit, and it is Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. So you do need to register for that event so that we can get you the Zoom link for that. But it's live, it's interactive, and you will get to see these birds of prey. And if you listen to our show last week, we met Rich Nickum from Preservation Parks of Delaware County, and at the Deerhaven Park on Liberty, they have their aviary with some birds of prey in there too. They were fascinating.
I should suggest that you watch our website and sign up for our events emails, because we've got some surprise special events coming up. They're coming up the week of July 5th. We're holding off till next week to announce them, but I think you'll find some very interesting and don't tell anybody, but in-person events. Mm-hmm. Not interactive, not online, but actual honest-to-God in-person events coming up soon. So So watch our site. Again, you can sign up for our events emails, or you can just follow the events page on our website, DelawareLibrary.org, and keep abreast of that. So, well, Nicole, we've reached the end of another week.
It's another show.
Another show, another opening, another show, another closing. Uh-huh. So thank you all for listening. Thank you, Gage.
Absolutely.
Thank you again, Miriam, for talking about Voice Corps. We really appreciated that. And we will see you in the stacks.